We have something a little bit different, and I think you're going to enjoy it. I watched Buddy Romer during this campaign, and I thought, here's an interesting man who was governor of the state of Louisiana, member of Congress, and now running for president of the United States on a limited budget by saying he wouldn't take more money than $100 per person. He got nowhere, but he got into the hearts of some of us who think that we need to have people from all parties talking about the money in politics. We've got to take back our democracy from those, the Koch brothers and the rest of them, who are trying to dictate who we nominate, who we elect, and who serves. So please join me in welcoming Buddy Romer to join Fighting Bob Fest.
As you can tell from my accent, I'm from southern Wisconsin, down around Baton Rouge. I woke up this morning and I go outside for a little jog, and I passed the front desk in my hotel and I said, "What's the temperature outside?" He said, 42 degrees. My God. This is summer. I can read the calendar. Fall does not start until September 21st. It was 42 in Baton Rouge once last year. Dead of winter. But it was a beautiful morning. Great run. I think temperature is too important to me. It's been funny all my life like that. I decided I wanted to be in politics when I was working on my father's cotton farm, and my job was a hoe hand. I would take a hoe, and in the summer when we were out of school, my brothers and I would chop cotton. And when the cotton's 4 or 5 foot tall on a hot summer day, it can get to be 110. And after one long day, my father happened to ask me, we were thinking about going to college, he said, "What are you going to be when you grow up? And I said, "I'm not sure, Dad, but I know what I'm not going to be, a cotton farmer." So temperature's always important. I went off to college. I was 16. I was young. I was the youngest person in my class, and I went to some little snooty school up in Boston. And they had offered me a scholarship. You know, I was a bright little kid. And so I just turned 16, and I'd never been to Harvard or Cambridge or Boston before. And one night, my roommate, I had 5 roommates, one of my roommates said, "It's going to be 0 in the morning." I never will forget that night. I don't know whether it was in December or January. He said, 0. I couldn't conceive of 0. So this was 1960. Shows you how old I am. There was one of these thermometers outside the Harvard ice hockey rink, and it was digital, 1960, and the temperature was on it. And that was about a mile from our dorm, and I got up throughout the night to go see when it got to be 0. And I can remember I would walk this mile, freezing my tail off, and it was 4. And so I said, "I'm going to give it a couple hours." So it was about 1 o'clock in the morning. So I went back. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. It was 2. And so I went back at 5. I didn't go to sleep at all that night. 5 o'clock. I remember it. It was 0. What a great day. I want to start by thanking you for inviting me. This Fighting Bob, this fest is world famous, as are you who participate in it and listen to it, and I thank you for inviting me. And I wanted to thank you for New Orleans. I'll leave this afternoon. I'm giving a speech tonight in New Orleans. My granddaddy lived in New Orleans. My daughter lives there now. I live about 70 miles from New Orleans in Baton Rouge. But on behalf of the citizens of New Orleans, I want to thank the citizens of Wisconsin and Madison particularly for helping us. We have rebuilt about half the city. New Orleans was a city of about 610,000. It's now about 295,000. So it's about halfway back. It was the only city in American history that was completely destroyed. 14 foot of water. And it's been a long haul back. So thank you. I'm going to say some things this morning for just a few minutes that I hope will encourage you to stand up with me. But these are going to be hard words. So I have to tell the story about a man, middle-aged. I'm older than middle-aged. I'm 68, but I'll call myself middle-aged. Maybe I'll live to be 136. Who knows? I'm a Methodist, I believe. But there was a middle-aged man who worked hard, and the phone would ring in the office, and his blood pressure would get high. And to relieve stress, he would leave the office some afternoons, go get in his car, drive out of town, put on a country music station, and listen to rock and roll or country with the windows down, and he'd feel better. It happened to him one day. He went down the 11-story elevator in New Orleans. He got in his sports car. He went outside of town about 10 or 15 miles. He was driving over the hills of South Louisiana. He was feeling better. The windows were down. The music was on. The phone was not ringing. There were never any cars on this road. And he saw a car coming about a mile away, coming over the hills, going pretty fast. And so he kind of gripped the wheel. Surprised him, and the car was about 100 yards from him. He went down a dip, disappeared. It came up the upside, and it had moved over into his lane. It was headed right toward him. So he grabbed the wheel. He hit the brakes. His veins popped out on the sides of his head, and the car swerved back into the other lane and passed him. It was driven by a woman. She had her window down, and she hollered, "Pig!" and went by him. Well, our guy, not to be outdone, thought it was rude as hell. So he said, "Cow," went about 50 feet and hit the biggest pig you ever saw. Okay. All right. So I spent 20 years as a Democrat. I spent 20 years as a Republican, and now I'm a proud independent. And I'm going to use some pig words and some cow words, but listen to me. This is about us. By the way, I found both parties basically the same. Addicted to the money. Addicted to the money. Don't try to go into a cloakroom and find the truth. I spent 8 years in the Congress. First, and I'm going to make 4 points. First, I'm optimistic about America. I think it's the greatest form of representative democracy on earth. No kings, no military dictators, no military generals, no one party runs this country. We do. We do. We do. Abraham Lincoln said it best, the greatest president. Don't fool yourself. He was a Whig. He changed parties to be a Republican, to stand with the abolitionist. They asked him one day when he was running for president, "What document represents America the most? What do you hold the most dear in America?" And you know what Abe Lincoln said? He didn't say the Constitution. He said the Declaration of Independence. It cannot be amended. We the people, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's not the Constitution. That's the Declaration of Independence. I think number two, we're a nation in trouble. Oh, I know it's a political season, and one party always says we're a nation in trouble, and the other party always says we're a nation in trouble if they're elected, and nonsense. I've lived through Clinton and Bush and now Obama. Clinton did away with Glass-Steagall. Bush did Too Big to Fail. And Obama changed neither of them. That's where we are. That's where we are. We're a nation in trouble. I'll give you some numbers. Last month, 400,000 Americans quit looking for work. 400,000 last month. We have 8.1% unemployed. We have 5 million people permanently unemployed, 47 weeks or longer. We had 425,000 new people on food stamps last month. That's almost 15,000 a day. We have fewer people working in America today than we did in 1999, and there are 41 million more Americans. We have lost half our manufacturing jobs in 20 years. NAFTA, CAFTA, blind eye to China. I've been to China more times than Obama and Romney combined. I've walked the streets. I've been to the plants. My first trip to China was in 92, all paid by me, my billfold. I wanted to see. I wanted to know. They work children. They work 12 hours a day. They work 6 days a week. I've seen women with a child strapped around their waist on a rope while they worked in the plants. And does America say anything? Not a word. They raised the tariff on Chrysler automobiles 2 months ago, 22%. Did the president say a word? Not one word. I'm in Los Angeles during the campaign about a year ago. By the way, he said I didn't do very well at the campaign. I raised over $1 million. I had 100,000 people contribute. That's more than any other candidate who ran. 100,000 people. I paid every bill. I was the only candidate in the Republican primary, the only candidate who'd been elected a governor and a congressman, and I didn't get invited to a single debate. They didn't want to hear me. I understand. I'm in Los Angeles, and the new leader of the party of China, Xi, was giving a speech. I slipped in to listen. You know, I'm the one that gave the speech in front of the Chinese embassy in Washington about unfair trade. I'm a trader. I know how the global economy works. I love to have free trade, but if I can't, it must be fair. And I listened to him talk about how he honored the city of Los Angeles and the port of Los Angeles for the $133 billion in trade. Well, I'm the only guy in the room that knew what the facts were. $122 billion goes from China to Los Angeles, and $11 billion goes from Los Angeles to China. That's not trade. That's surrender. I worry about America. Manufacturing jobs down by half, 15% of the people work part-time only. They can't support their own family. They can't find a full-time job. They work two and three jobs. 11 million people on Social Security disability. 11 million Americans. 3 years ago, that number was 5 million. Wages per hour are shrinking. The quit rate is the lowest measured in American history. That's the people who voluntarily quit their job and go look for another one. It's almost zero. Women have never had a rougher time in a recession than this one. They've actually lost jobs for the first time in American history. Blacks have no chance. Youth are dead on the street in terms of jobs. College grads have the largest unemployment rate in American history. We're in a depression, but it's quiet. It's invisible because the check's in the mail. There are no breadlines. And the elite have never had it so good. Look at them, watch them. They've never had it so good. Wall Street have never had these profits. Goldman Sachs, I call them Goldman Friggin' Sachs. And I went to the Harvard Business School after I got out of money. I know these guys. I know them well. I know them all. They were the largest giver to Obama and McCain. They gave to both of them millions of dollars. Broke every rule in the banking book, and not one soul went to jail. Look, the big boy, there are two Americas. Have you figured it out? There are two Americas. One never had it so good, and the other is afraid, hanging on. It doesn't have to be that way. The big boys discovered something. I don't know when they discovered it. 10 years ago, 20 years ago. This is not an Obama problem. This is our problem. The big boys discovered something. Washington's not just broken, it's bought. They discovered they can buy it. They're for rent. Don't try to call and talk to your congressman and get in the way of a Washington fundraiser. You've got no chance. You know who the Congress works for? Whoever signs their check. I say it's institutionally corrupt when a big check can get first in line and a young woman with a good idea is last. That's institutionally corrupt. That's not the way America was. That's not the way America should be. We have a tax code you cannot read. We have a tax code where GE can make $15.4 billion and pay not one penny in federal income tax. Oh, it's worse than that. We have a tax code written so that GE can close a plant in America and open the plant in China, and we taxpayers pay for it because they deduct the expenses from their revenue. And by the way, you know where they sell these products that they make in China from the plants closed in America? They sell them back in America because we're free traders. No tariffs on those goods. Wow. You know who wrote the tax bill, don't you? It wasn't President Obama. He didn't even know what's in it. It wasn't President Bush. He didn't even know what's in it. It wasn't the Congress. They don't even know what's in it. It was the lobbyists. They write the tax code. Bank reform, too big to fail, Glass-Steagall, capital ratios ought to go up. Has any of that been done? President Obama signs the bank reform bill. I try not to blame him. I like him. There hadn't been many presidents I liked. I like him. I like him as a person. But he signs this bank reform bill with this big ceremony. It's a piece of garbage. And the next day, he goes to Wall Street. The next day, goes to Wall Street, has a fundraiser, $35,400 a ticket, and guess who the host is? Friggin' Goldman Sachs. Come on. Healthcare reform, I'm a diabetic. 50 years, there it is, insulin pump. Made in Sweden. Don't make them in America. Oh, the idea and the patent is held in America, but not the manufacturing plant. We need it. I supported President Obama. We need health care reform. But he went the wrong way. He got the lobbyists, the lawyers, the insurance companies, and the pharmaceuticals in the room. That's not who you need. You need the nurses and the patients and the doctors in the room. Come on. Come on. We can boom in this country. We can do it. We're this close. It can be done. And it can be done quickly. Regulatory reform, don't eliminate the regulations. You need a speed limit on the highways. But don't treat a company run by a woman that's doing a project with five employees the same as if she was General Electric. The regulations can be different. Can be different. We need trade reform, a level playing field. We need energy reform. I'm an environmentalist. We can produce energy in this country environmentally right. We did it in Louisiana. All the big oil companies fought me. I mean, they would see red in the face. But we increased production and lowered the cost of the air and water. It can be done. We can't do it, though, with bundled money, with special interest money, with lobbyist money. The givers get, and the rest of us pay. Here's my solution, and I'll close with this last point. I'm very specific. I got 7% in the Gallup poll a week before I dropped out of the race 2 months ago, 7%. Not on a single debate. No one knew me. I was known by 15% of the American people, and half of them were voting for me. And here's the issue. The first step is not tax reform. The first step to growth and jobs and justice is not budget reform. It's not health care reform. It's not trade reform. It's campaign reform. You've got to. Full disclosure, sunlight in every transaction. Full disclosure, number one. Number two. 48-hour reporting, not 2 weeks, not 2 months, not 2 years, 48 hours. Number three, criminal penalties if you violate these laws. Number four, PACs cannot give more than individuals. Now they can give 5,000, individuals 2,500. Whatever the limit is, it affects everybody. Number four, no lobbyist can bring a check. Bring an idea, bring a need, bring a tear, but don't bring a check. Number five, no super PACs. They're illegal. Now, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not standing before the Supreme Court. But Citizens United says that the super PACs working in America are illegal. Here's what it says. There can be no coordination between the super PAC and the campaign. Mitt Romney spoke to the fundraiser of his own darn super PAC. Is that coordination? You betcha. They're illegal. President Obama named his key people serving in Washington to raise money for his own super PAC. That's coordination. I'm not a fool. They're illegal, and Congress ought to have the guts to stand up and say it. Number six. No retiring congressman can lobby Congress for 7 years after retirement. And finally, we ought to have public funding of campaigns that set a limit on the amount they would accept. Let me show you how it would work. If you set a $100 limit, I can be elected president at $100. Let me tell you why. If I were to run for 4 years like this, I win. Now watch me. If I get 5 million people to give me $100 each, that's 500 million and they can't beat me. It can be done. If you agree to set a $100 limit and to get money from your district that you're representing, then we, the taxpayers, would put up, match you 4-1. 4-1. And we would have the kind of elections where people would run. We don't need two parties, we need 20. We don't need one ideas, we need 15. We need more people involved. It can be done. And what's the cost? You know, I'm one of these bankers. I've heard you say we don't want to be tight with the money. Some places we need to be tight with the money. We have 1,155 foreign bases. That's about 800 too many. I mean, there are a lot of ways you can reduce the budget in this country without hurting people, without stopping jobs, without hurting children. You can do it. One of the places we ought to spend a little money on is public funding for these kind of campaigns. It would cost you $3 billion a year. That's all. And you would choose where the money goes. Every person would get a $50 tax voucher. And you decide what candidate or what party you contribute to. Let me close. We start with reform, and not any one of the two candidates for president even mentions the word. They're not going to make any changes. I was so hopeful with Obama. I liked him. And he talked about change. And, you know, I know John McCain all my life and fought the wars with him, trust him and honored him. But I liked Obama. Change in America. Did it come? No. Got to start with the money. You got to start with campaign reform. If you were to join me, not me, but people like me, I'm 68. I'm too old to be president now. It'll be some one of you. But we can do this. We can do this. I'm going to stand with you. I'm going all over America. I'm in Denver next week and watch the crowds. I'm in Los Angeles the week after that, and then San Francisco. I'm going all over America. I'm of enough age, and I've worked hard and saved my money. I'm giving it back. We can do this. It's going to take you doing two things, and you're not going to like it, but I'm your doctor on this one. I've been there. This is not theoretical to me. I've been in the Oval Office more times than I care to mention. When Reagan was president and I was a Democrat, head of the boll weevils, and we turned this country around. We did, across party lines. We've got to build from the center where it's the strongest. Two things you have to do, sacrifice and get involved, each one of you. Get on my website, that's a place to start. It's not the only place. It's called thereformproject.org. Get on it. TheReformProject.org. We are picking candidates across America. We educate them. We're picking those who should win. We're going to elect members of Congress. I'm not trying to form a party. I'm trying to build a nation. I can't do it without you. I'll close with this one story. Guy loved to go fishing. He was 6 years old. He asked his dad, he said, "Dad, let's go fishing." Dad worked, good man, worked hard. He put that first. And he said, "I would do it in a couple weeks, son, I promise you." A couple weeks came and went. He asked his dad, he said, "Let's go fishing." "And we'll do it, son, I'm really busy, right? In a couple of weeks, I promise." 3 weeks came and went, 4 weeks, and he said, Dad, let's go fishing. And Dad said, well, when? And the boy said, let's do it Saturday. Let's go Saturday morning. This was a Tuesday. And the man says, all right, this Saturday we're going fishing. I'll put my work off one day. Saturday morning came, it was cold, it was wet, about 42, raining. And the dad said, I asked the boy, he said, you want to go? It's miserable. And he said, let's go, Dad. They went fishing. Daybreak, got the boat, got on the lake, didn't catch a nibble. You know how it is. You've been there. Not a nibble. Spent most of the day, ate a sandwich. About mid-afternoon, it got worse, and so they came home. And Mama didn't say anything. They dragged in the house, father and son. Took off their rain jackets and got out of their clothes. Took a bath. Ate supper that night, didn't say much. Dad said to his boy, said, I'm sorry, son. Boy didn't say anything. That night, before Mom and Dad went to sleep, they heard their son in the little small farmhouse, that little thin wall. They heard him say his six-year-old prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And thank you, God. Thank you for a great day of fishing. Spent all day with Daddy. It's not about the fish. It's not about which party wins. It's about us. Stand with me. Thank you.
I told you were in for a treat. Interesting. I guess my biggest mistake is I never took my daughters fishing. But when Buddy Romer talks about the system is broken, I can tell you as one who has run for office and tried to get money from people and from corporations, not from corporations, but from unions and so on, everybody wants something in return if you get a big check from them. As Paul Simon used to say, nobody gives you $5,000 because you look good. And he said, and in particular your case, Ed. So if you ask, anytime you talk to a group of students, ask them if they've ever had anyone come up to them and say, well, I'd like to give you $1,000. What question would you ask? And inevitably they say, what do you want? Nobody gives $1,000 or $5,000 or $10,000 to somebody unless they want something in return. So I think what Buddy Romer is saying is, unless we reform the system, we're not going to change any of the other things. Mike McCabe will be leading the workshop this afternoon, of course, says that whatever your top priority is, it has to become number two, because number one has to be campaign finance reform. Get the money out of politics. Bob La Follette made it possible to get the corporations not to contribute. And we now have the disgrace of corporations pouring money into campaigns. It is an absolute disgrace. Try to explain this system to someone from Europe in a democracy where they listen to us constantly say we're the greatest nation in the history of the world. Well, take a look at our politics and you're going to have to ask yourself if that's really true.